about something that's very familiar to everyone, but this was just came to my mind and on my heart as our church has. I think we've just been looking at a lot of difficult situations and sometimes and I mean folks in ill health and things of that nature. And of course our world is definitely in a turmoil. Of course the Lord told us that, didn't He? I love how God always tells us the truth. He's never lied to us, not one time. And every time I open that Bible, I'm reaffirmed in the truth all the time. And the fact that God is the one true source of truth. He is truth. And so we appreciate His Word so much. But in the midst of our struggles, whatever they are, we've had some that have lost loved ones this week and people that we've loved in our church body. And we have those that are ill that we love dearly and many other struggles. And of course, this is happening all the time. But this message today, although a familiar passage, I want us to just think about this in very simple terms, about choosing our treasure and what is our focus and what are we thinking about and longing for and what are we putting our hope in? A life without hope is a desperate life. We know that. Even the world seems to understand that a life without hope is a desperate life. It can be a life of despair. And we have hope. Everyone here today, if you hear my voice, you can know that you have hope in the one who can truly give you a future with a joy and a hope, Jesus Christ. And so turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, and let's look at verses 19 through 21. And if you'll stand and read with me for these three short verses, Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves can break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Father, thank You for Your Word. May Your Spirit open our eyes and ears now to hear what You would say to us, Lord, through this message. We thank You in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. The great British preacher, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, told the story of a farmer once. You may have heard this, but the farmer bounded joyfully into his kitchen one day, and he came in shouting with his wife with a big grin on his face, and he announced that their finest cow had just given birth to twins, one brown and one white. And he was so thankful, he said, I really feel like we should dedicate one of these cows to the Lord. We'll bring them up together and we'll do that. And she said, well, which one of these cows belongs to the Lord, the brown one or the white one? And he said, well, there's no need to worry about that right now. I mean, it'll work itself out and we'll know what to do later. A few months later, he entered the kitchen again looking very sad. His wife asked, why so sullen? And he replied, I have bad news. The Lord's cow just died. And it seems that we tend to have, the world has such a hold on us, doesn't it? We tend to get our priorities and our values backward. And just like the farmer in this illustration, we can find ourselves at odds with where our heart should be. Have you ever experienced that as a believer? Sometimes it can feel a little bit upside down or backwards. And it's understandable from a human perspective because we live in the flesh. We all live with this flesh and deal with the same issues in life. And so we can relate to each other on this matter. Nevertheless, the challenge comes to us from God Himself and from Jesus specifically in these words from His Sermon on the Mount to choose our treasure. So the definition of treasure is a precious, valuable good, something that's precious and valuable to us that we carefully guard. A treasure is something that's precious and valuable to us that we carefully guard. But here's a question. Why would we have to choose? Why do we have to choose? Because we all have multiple treasures in our life, don't we? We have people we love. We have our families. And families look different. Sometimes we have those that are single but you still have family members that you love and friends that you love. If you're married, you have a spouse that you love. Perhaps some of you have been blessed with children. And so we know that these are gifts from God, don't we? So we even have pets that we love, and we have possessions that we know are good things from God. And this is true, and we should be thankful for these and praise God for them. But Jesus is warning us to always pay attention to our heart. What is the true treasure in your life? And he says to take note of that because it's not of this world. What should be our true treasure in life has nothing to do with this earthly world. He does. He has everything to do with us. But what he means is that our treasure that is what we prize as precious and valuable, that we carefully guard as believers, transcends this world. That's what we're saying. Jesus is saying in Matthew 6, really, that our hearts will follow our treasure, so we need to choose that treasure wisely. In Proverbs 4:23, you'll remember that the Bible says, guard your hearts because everything we are and do flows from our heart. The Bible tells us to guard our heart carefully. In other words, if what we value the most are terrestrial, temporary things, and we're really not even considering worldly, fleshly, sinful things here. We're just talking about what might be the good things that God has blessed us with. If we're distracted by those things all the time, and we place supreme value on them, then that can be idolatry for us. Something that's very serious to think about. Our heart in Scripture means our innermost being. It's the core of who you are. It's what you think and what you cherish. If your treasure has everything to do with things in this present life, as we've said, then your heart will be wrongly invested. Those earthly things are the things that we'll dream about, the things that we long for and plan for. Maybe we just find that they're things that consume our thoughts too often. And sometimes that produces worry, right? We can be concerned about earthly things. Didn't Jesus have something to say about worry? All through the Scripture, do not worry about your life, what you will put on, what you will eat. Remember, I clothe the lilies of the field. The Father clothes the lilies of the field, and he feeds the birds of the air. Aren't you more important to him than all these things created on the earth? And so Jesus, over and over again, commands us really not to worry. The Apostle Paul had a lot to say about that. We all love Philippians chapter 4. And in that, you know, he says to make our requests known to God in prayer. Lift up. You toss up everything to God and make your requests known, and he will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He will give you a heart of peace when you trust him with everything down here, because there are problems down here. There are things that can cause many worries. But Jesus is telling us that he transcends the problems and the mess and the sin down here. There's no greater treasure than that. Now, if you're one of the many unbelieving, lost people living on the planet, then earthly and worldly things are all you have. And so it's understandable that as a person who doesn't know Jesus, who doesn't understand what I'm talking about, maybe right now, if we happen to be in that state, which all of us have been. If we call ourselves believers this morning, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall, the Scripture says. So we need to always remember, by the grace of God go I. And so we are, that's what I want us all to keep in mind as we think about treasure this morning, that it's all focused on him. It's on the reality of Jesus and who he is and how wonderful he is, not any of us, because we all come from the same sinful root. We've done different things in our lives. Our lives have different trajectories on our journey. We may make different choices here and there, but one thing is common among every human being that's ever lived. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it's by grace that we're standing here today. We could be in a very different situation if not for Jesus today. So we judge no one. But we cast all judgment to the Son, proclaiming the things that He has said. That sin is sin, not because I say it is. Not because we have just gathered together and by our opinion come up with a list that we think is sin. But it's because it's proclaimed in the Word of God, who always tells us the truth. And that these things, sinful things, harm us. Sin separates us from God for eternity. And Jesus Christ came to rescue us from that separation and judgment. If you're one of the redeemed, if you're one of the minority on this earth who have had their spirit quickened by the grace of the Creator, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you're indwelled by His Spirit, then the new heaven and the new earth should be what you are contemplating more than the fleeting things of this earth. Things that God tells us on this earth are like a vapor. Here one minute and gone the next. Our life is like a vapor. It's like a mist. We see it one minute and then soon it's gone. Scripture compares our life to many things that are very temporary in the Word. Besides the things of this world, as we've mentioned, here's another way to think about it. Things of this world that distract us and cause the cares of the world to pile up on us, that Jesus warned us about more than once. These things just demand more and more of us all the time. They just continue to demand. There's no satisfying the appetite of stuff, of things, of worldly concerns. These are demands that can never be met. I call it terrestrial tyranny. We are under a tyrannical pull of sin by the evil one to focus on too much on the things of this world. If we really believe that Jesus is alive and He saved us and He's returning one day soon and that this world is temporary, then more of our mind, brethren, more of our dreams, more of our hope, more of our energy should be channeled there. We should be channeled to Him and His kingdom and to the treasures that we have in heaven already because of Him. Don't forget those incredible promises through the epistles of Paul. They're just amazing. The promises of who we are in Christ. Christians in other parts of the world that endure persecution, who live constantly with the threat of violence just because they claim the name of Christ, they readily understand this, don't they? They know that there's no hope and no future in this world. Our hope and future is in the next world. It's in Jesus Christ and His kingdom. But on the other hand, if we live in comfort and amid earthly pleasures, our hearts and minds can be easily distracted from the truth. We tend to dream about and hope for and work for this kingdom too much, our kingdom rather than His kingdom. Revelation 21, 1 through 4 gives us a glimpse of what His eternal kingdom is like. Listen to this as God speaks to us in Revelation 21, 1 through 4. And the Apostle John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among His people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away.'" Isn't this the home you long for? Isn't that what sounds wonderful? Isn't that what draws us? I mean, and it's because of Him. It's because He is there. This is a wonderful place because He is there. He has created it. He has built the building that we are to dwell in. We should be thinking about our eternal home far more than this one, brethren. We need to ask ourselves this. If I really believe that Jesus is my Savior, and He's coming again soon, how should that affect my life today? How should that affect my attitude, my thoughts, my behavior, my giving? How should that affect the way I treat other people? We should be storing up eternal treasure. We should be Choosing to place our hearts where our lives truly belong, not here in this decaying temporal planet, decaying because of sin. If you're a Jesus follower today, you belong to Him and are made for His kingdom, not this one.
Obsessed, curious, distracted, and fixated. Like an accident on the side of the road, we can't look away. Something or someone has our attention. We are followers. We are all following something. Sports teams, political candidates, natural disasters, breaking news, financial markets, technology trends, famous people. The list never ends. What is your curious obsession? Who or what are you following? Is Jesus on your list? Does He turn in and out of your thoughts? Is He a consideration of who you are and what you do? He should be. Let your heart catch fire with what it means to be a Jesus follower. Your life will never be the same.
So if you're a believer this morning, if you're a Jesus follower, then you're called to live in the Spirit and not the flesh, knowing that it's the Spirit of God who gives life, because the flesh profits nothing. Where does our flesh get us? It gets us, it breeds strife and corruption and despair. Let's reflect for a moment about the obvious implications of this message for our congregation right now. As we've mentioned, the many loved ones and fellow saints that have passed from this world in recent memory, and we see the stark evidence all the time around us. We should be aware all the time. When it happens to someone who's close to us, like what happened with Connie recently, then we're kind of shaken to see the stark reality that life is like a vapor, and we really don't know what tomorrow holds. There's so many examples we could give, but our life is here one minute and gone the next. God never lies to us. We need to listen to Him. None of us know how many days we have left. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. No reincarnation, no second chances after death, not according to God's word. So what is your response today? Are you redeemed by the blood of Christ? Are you a Jesus follower who says, yes, I'm going to focus my mind and heart on the eternal kingdom. I want to be more heavenly focused. I want to set my heart on treasure above and really believe what God is telling me and start living like it. John Piper, in a way that only John Piper can do, talks about this a little bit, of what I'm talking about in Desiring God. And he says this, brethren, listen closely. The pursuit of joy in God is not optional. It's not an extra that a person might grow into after he comes to faith. It's not simply a way to enhance your walk with the Lord. Unless your heart has hit upon this pursuit, your faith cannot please God. Saving faith is the confidence that if you sell all you have and forsake all sinful pleasures, the hidden treasure of holy joy will satisfy your deepest desires. Saving faith is the heartfelt conviction, not only that Christ is reliable, but also that He is desirable. Christ is desirable in addition to being reliable. It's the confidence that Jesus will come through with His promises, and that what He promises is more to be desired than all the riches of this world. We may speak of the joy of faith at three levels. First, there's the new spiritual taste created by the Spirit of God for the glory of God. This new taste is the seed and root of joy. Thus, it is the joy of faith in embryo, as it were. Secondly, there is a shoot or the stem of faith itself reaching out actively for all that God is for us in Christ. This stem is the joy in God. It is not possible for vital, genuine faith in the foundation of joy not to partake of that joy. Joyless embracing of the God of hope for who he really is impossible. Let me read that again. Joyless embracing of the God of hope for who he really is impossible. Third, there is the fruit of daily gladness that Paul speaks about in Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Here, joy and peace flow out from faith into your whole life. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In conversion, we find the hidden treasure of the kingdom of God. We venture all on it. And year after year in the struggles of life, we prove the value of the treasure again and again as we discover depths of riches we'd never known. And so the joy of faith grows. When Christ calls us to a new act of obedience that will cost us some temporal pleasure, we call to mind the surpassing value of following Him. And by faith in His proven worth, we forsake the worldly pleasure. The result? More joy, more faith, deeper than before. And so we go from joy to joy and faith to faith. Behind the repentance that turns away from sin and behind the faith that embraces Christ is the birth of a new taste, a new longing, a new passion for the pleasure of God's presence. I met with a dear friend this week, and this sermon really flowed out of that meeting, among other things, but there's a dear friend who seeks to follow the Lord in every area of his life. I mean, many of you may know this friend, but he is being hammered from every angle of life right now. And so we met just to minister to one another. And he said to me, he's incredibly knowledgeable in the Word. He has such an extensive knowledge of the Word. I mean, I would listen to him to learn. And he said to me, you know, we've all been here multiple times, but right now where I am is a very hard place. It's a very difficult place. It can even be scary. Perhaps sometimes we have so much coming at us and pulling from us, we're not even really sure who we are. And he said, you know, it's times like these that I need not just to know the truth of God's Word, but I need the supernatural power of His Spirit's presence. I need God Himself. That's what he's saying. And this friend, to be fair, of course, he knows God is with him. He knows that. But we just called out to God together. We just cried out to Him in prayer that He would hear our call, He would hear our cry, and He would answer. And that He would bring resolution to issues that my friend is facing. That is the treasure of Christ in our life. I can't imagine going through life as I did at one point in my life. I can never imagine going back to that point where I was Christless, where I didn't have the hope of Christ in my life. I didn't have the power of God in my life by the presence of His Spirit to keep going and to have hope. And so as best I could with meeting with my friend this week, I just reminded him of the hope that we have in Christ, which he knows full well. But I said, we stand on His promises. We stand on the promises of Jesus. We stand on the promises that are mentioned in this Word, knowing that He has never lied, and He will make good on those promises. And we find strength for today, to get through today and to hope for a better tomorrow. And friends, here it is. All of us who know Christ, ultimately, our hope is not in this world. And when we can look past the hardships of this life and the trials that we go through here, and the confusion and the frustration and even the despair, when we can look past that and live more in our future kingdom, where He is, where your life is hidden with God in Christ, the apostle says in Colossians. If you know Jesus today, your life is literally hidden with God in Jesus Christ. And now I flip to Ephesians, where you have immense treasures, all the treasures of the heavenlies that are yours because of Christ Jesus and in Christ Jesus. Those are the things we need to be thinking about. And we need to be sowing into God in prayer thankfulness and praise that He is in charge of these things. So, I want to ask you this. Are you a lost person today? Are you perhaps one of the ones who has not believed on Christ by faith? You haven't asked Jesus to save you from your sin, not with a true, sincere heart of faith. The Word says that you can believe by the grace of God, by the grace of God opening your heart, and it's a work that He initiates. You know the parable? Remember the parable of the good shepherd? Jesus is the good shepherd, and He comes after the lost sheep. And of course, there's one that strays from the 100, and there's the 99 and the one. But the sheep, as you recall, the sheep don't know they're in danger, really. They've strayed out of the sheepfold, and there are many predators and much evil in the world that can take a sheep. But the sheep is unaware. But the good shepherd, he seeks. He comes after that ignorant, lost sheep. God never uses an analogy by a mistake. So it's interesting. He compares us to one of the dumbest animals on the planet. But compared to God, and that's how lost we are when we're lost. We don't even know we're lost. We don't know we're lost. We have to have that reality exposed to us, open to us, revealed to us from God. And so I'm telling you that the Word of God says today in Romans and in many other places, we each one of us are sinners, and we will answer to our Creator one day for that sin. Either we will answer to Him with our own life and eternity in judgment, separation from God and the judgment of hell, or we will believe in the truth of Jesus Christ, that He came to earth and He died on that cross and shed His blood to save a wretch like me. And that by me simply believing that and confessing my sin to Him, I confess it. I've actually poured out my heart before God and just listed my sin verbally. And then when I was finished with that tragic and disgusting list that was me, then I put my face on the ground and had the prayer of the groanings of the spirit that are beyond words. And I said, Lord, I just said, help. Show me the sin. Show me the sin I don't see. I want you to cleanse me of that too. So the path of the Jesus follower can be yours today. Lost person, if you've never believed in Christ, I pray now for the Lord to open your heart and mind to the truth of the gospel of Christ, the goodness of the glory of Jesus, and that He saves and He will take you to heaven one day if you are here His. And listen, you can pray from your heart right where you are right now. You can confess your sin to God and ask Jesus to save you. You don't need a preacher to do that for you. You don't have to be anywhere special to do that. God is supernatural. He is everywhere. He sees all things. He knows your thoughts before you think them. He knows your words before you speak them. He knows how many days you're going to be on this earth. He knows you're rising up and you're lying down. You're coming and going. This is all in the Scripture. God is well aware of you. He's well aware of who you are. He knows everything you've done. He knows everything you will do. That's who I want to trust. Because everything else is a lie. And it's temporary. And it drags us to places that are not built for the kingdom of God. As we listen to this quiet music, let's reflect for just a few moments on the things we've heard today.